Hi,
I'm Shamini Stewart. I am from Musenberg. Well, live in Musenberg, but I'm originally from up north in South Africa, from Mafeking, where I grew up in very rural Platteland, which, shaped a lot of who I am and my thinking. I came to Cape Town to study architecture at UCT, and finished my degree there and proceeded to work at an NGO called Engineering Ministries International, where we do engineering and architecture as missions. But part of, just this journey in architecture and engineering is a big heart for just space and spatial justice and the cities of our country in South Africa. It's something that I'm very interested in and very passionate about, what God's heart is over these things. And my part-time, I enjoy doing any and all sorts of outdoor activities. What leadership experiences formed me before coming? I would say I was part of a variety of different leadership spaces before coming to Renewal. A lot of church leadership, from being small group leader, deacon at the church, as well as a gap year program where I was on leadership, where I was also a leader in later on, leadership at the workspace where I'm at now, as well as, so there's a variety of leadership spaces and sport leadership and things like that. But I would probably say the most formative space of leadership for me was as a youngster growing up under a pastor in the local village in Mafeking, where I grew up, and kind of just walking alongside him and being discipled by him, and kind of leading the youth spaces alongside him was such a formative space for me in learning a lot about what servant leadership looks like and what someone that really just walks in the ways of Jesus look like. What need was being met? I would say I kind of hit a wall when I was in my early 20s, after I had been part of all these leadership spaces and big churches and different churches, where I was reflecting on the space I grew up in, alongside the pastor in the village, and that one-on-one relationship and the real deep grassroots level of knowing people. I just felt was so missing in my life at that stage, and that grassroots level of loving people, and being focused on people, not places or things. And I would say coming back to smaller spaces has been such an incredible revival of that in my life. A very big people-focused space where you get to love people and you feel known and loved, but you're also able to draw people into something where you know that they will be known and loved and be able to meet Jesus very, very practically, with a very practical focus on, what it looks like to love Jesus and people.
Cool.
I love it. I'm having a conversation with myself on mute. It's weird. Are we recording this now?
Yeah, I just started recording now.
Cool. Let's take a few moments to just to respond to somebody and any questions, thoughts that come to mind, Brad.
We're recording now, so I don't feel comfortable to eat.
That's hilarious.
I'm curious, you're saying about the uncomfortableness of hearing yourself or being recorded. Maybe I'd be curious to hear more about that.
I think there's a lot of, like, it's not only hearing myself recorded, I guess it's just hearing myself speak. I think it goes back to a lot of stuff I dealt with when I just came to UCT and kind of this fear of saying something wrong or saying something that offends people or saying something that people don't agree with, or not necessarily don't agree with, but I think the I experienced a lot of like, your voice doesn't matter, you need to be quiet, you don't, and I still carry a lot of remnant of that. Not that I ever tried to say something in someone, it was just what the space said to me, and so I often still carry that. So I think in general, I am slow to speak in spaces about my experiences, I'd say. Not necessarily, it's very specific topics that I'm like, my experience is irrelevant kind of experience. Yeah, so I know it's not healthy, all the stuff, but it's where it comes from.
I mean, it sounds like, without knowing any context at all, so maybe caveat in that, but sounds like that is a traumatic experience, right? And out of that place of trauma, there's an experience that's formed some ways of being and engaging in the world, which is super challenging. So yeah, I'm sorry that you went through that. Again, I don't know the context, but I know from my own experience, especially being in university spaces, I know the I've experienced some of the forcefulness and the brashness of student behaviors and their perspectives and the challenge of listening and everyone wanting to speak and be heard and have time on the stage. And I think it often comes at a pinnacle within university spaces or tertiary education, because it's kind of a whole lot of opinionated people coming together and trying to figure things out together. So, but yeah, sorry to hear that. I think having gotten to know you over the past few years, I had a sense that that was the case. Just, you know, I remember us having tough conversations in various people's homes. And I've always noticed, you know, in terms of the quietness. And I think you do have the courage enough to speak up, but I think of what I noticed was the prevalence to listen more than you're speaking. And I was always curious about that. So I'm sure that's also coming from a place of wanting to listen. I don't think it's, you know, all just based on some experiences, but I think it is filling out the picture a bit more of who Sharmini is and how she's showing up in spaces. So thanks as well, just for sharing what you just shared now.
Sure. Thanks, Brad.
Thinking which question to ask first. These are the easy ones. You spoke about I forget the guy's name now.
Ilias.
Ilias, who's obviously mentored you and played such a amazing role in your formation. I think you used the word form. What are some of the key areas that he's formed your life, that you can see that playing out in your own life?
I think me being at EMI and wanting to be in work in spaces that are intentionally focused on creating or loving the marginalized, I think is a big thing, that and making those decisions to put yourself in those spaces despite other things or what other people say. So that's definitely a big thing for me. I think also being comfortable in spaces that I'm, it's funny, it's through the last few weeks I've had very interesting conversations with friends, my peers, and just realizing what a big gift it is to be comfortable in the spaces I am in that is very foreign and uncomfortable for people, which is a very sad reality of our country. So yeah, I feel like that was such a big gift that he gave me, is to be comfortable and love and appreciate and desire to be in spaces where people, where there's difference, where people are different. So that's like basic things, but I think the biggest thing to me that I take away, and this I only realized in the last 4 months, was that he like was full-time ministry, loved the Lord, had nothing in the world's eyes, but he was just always super joyful. And I think that's something that I'm trying to learn from him and try to be intentional about. I think often when I speak to people who are on mission, there's a very big burden and a weightiness to it, and sometimes really struggle to see the part where the Lord speaks about his yoke being easy and his burden is light and the joy strength. And Elias was just like, he walked through life with so much joy and so much like excitement about mission for the 40 odd years that he was doing it. Like, so I think that likeness of being able to do this with the Lord and with so much joy is something that I don't think I have yet, but that I learned from him and that I want to grow in, and that I think just the church as a whole can grow in.
I think it's also came to mind when you said that, when you spoke about these different spaces, I think, well, you are a bit of an odd one, eh? Like, because normally, like, when you think about odd one, let me explain, let me not, like, call you weird. But, like, odd in the sense of, like, you are in different spaces, so much probably at, like, EMI or wherever you can be, with people that look like you, but you position yourself, even with some of the friends that you've introduced me to as well, all of them are like, they don't look like you. Yeah. So it's like, well, most of them I've met, they don't look like you, you know? So that's definitely, and we don't look like you. Yeah. Just disclaimer. You show me things. It's like we together, you know, and I feel like I've had the sense of that as well. Even at your wedding, you could see like people really appreciating that of you. So even though you like kind of maybe an odd one out if you look in terms of the picture, because like there's always like more people that look different than you, at least in the time I've known you, and then yeah, you are. Okay, now Cam too. But yeah, man, you're comfortable and you're around there and you're curious, and your curiosity, I think that's really commendable. And I just want to encourage you in that, maybe for being curious. But I concur, that must have been something of his leadership that led and sort of formed you in that and gave you a vision of life that and said that maybe there's a different way. The other question I have, though, it's a bit deep, though. You feel free. You're not. I don't wanna. As Brad said, you know, Brad is a qualified trauma person, though. So maybe I don't know if that does that give us license to ask really deep questions.
Qualified trauma person. Is that
is that
what you write in your CV?
So that's another side of it.
Do you cause trauma? Do you?
I'm sure I do. I'm sure I do cause trauma from time to time.
On the third question, you said you used a phrase, you actually used it twice, speaking about...
Is it just on my side or is your audio?
Yeah, it's bad.
to that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better.
So question around a phrase you used, I think it was around the micro church, like why micro church? And you said within a micro church, people, it's a space where people can be known, you know, can be known. And you said that like twice, right? Would you say, and the question is, why is that so important to you? The fact that people can be known.
I would say it's important to me because I came from a space of not that, of spending 5 years, 5 or 6, I can't remember how many years in a bigger space, and being quite intentional. And I don't know, it might have been season of life as well. It might have just been student season. I need to maybe think through that a bit. But yeah, spending 5 years plowing very intentionally into a space that is quite a bit bigger, but because it's so big, it keeps moving. And to me, it felt like after 6 years, like I never really felt known in that space. And I never really felt like I properly knew people, because people hold a bit of themselves back. It's like almost like people didn't feel safe. So it wasn't only me feeling known. It was a bit of like, I feel like I don't know the people and can't meet them where they're at and really get to the hard stuff of life. Which I think on the one hand, people find easy to invite friends into because it's not confrontational. So if you invite someone that's non-Christian, it's like, you can get lost in the crowd and it's easy. So some people, actually, I had a conversation with a friend about this the other day on the run when I was saying how easy I find it to invite people into a small
You can
space.
Talk on a run. Wow.
yes. I was dying. But yeah, so I think the being known part, I think to me is important because I was in a space where it wasn't, and I felt like life was just quite shallow at that time. Which was okay because I was at the Student Y where I was very much known and was small community that did life intentionally together. So I think throughout all of it, the Lord was good to me, and there was always a community of depth and a community of that is smaller and that you can invite people into. So yeah, I think that is the kind of answer. There's probably more to it if I think about it.
Yeah, that's cool. I was thinking about this when you say that, and you were speaking, I was thinking about this, I think it's a sociologist by the name of Edward Wall. He says, when he speaks about spaces and belonging, he says that we can create spaces to know and be known. I think that's what he says, to know and be known. And not belonging, and it's quite interesting that the why is actually that space, such an important space or special space to you. That makes sense now.
Because it
plays such a big role in your life. Cool. Thank you for sharing. Pleasure.
It's so cool about hearing about EBE and the Student Y. I didn't know about the Student Y when I was, in engineering at UCT and staying on campus and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I could have benefited so much in that place of, because I was lost at the time spiritually. It was very nominal kind of Christian experience the space that I was in at UCT. So yeah, it's really cool to hear that that's kind of one of the first places that those hub ideas are happening. That's so cool. I think I got two questions. The one is, two that's coming to mind right now. So for your upbringing and, you know, the impact that Elias had on you, and that joy that you mentioned that was seemingly constant in his life, despite you know, from the world's perspective, not having much. I guess as I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, an easy answer would be like, you know, it's the joy of the Lord that's in him and his connectedness with God and knowing scriptures and stuff. But I think of some people that might claim to have that same thing, you know, in terms of knowing the Lord, but not necessarily having that joy deeply rooted in them, and maybe so visible and stuff. And so I was curious, like, you know, what do you think the difference was? What do you think was the, you know, for someone else that might be in a very similar material and spiritual space like him, mm-hmm. what might have been some of the experiential differences that you, either something you know or something if you were to guess based on your relationship with him?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I've never thought about it like that. I think an aspect to it was that he was a very big people person, and he found joy in people and in relationships with people and in being around and dealing with people, as opposed to so there's an aspect potentially of personality as well. I can definitely recognize that. Where some people might enjoy tasks more or might enjoy other things more. I think he was just very much cut out for mission and his heart for people. So there's that aspect that he was constantly filled by what he enjoyed. But I might be just speculating, but I think it's also when you don't have much, like I'm referring to like Village in Mafeking, which is very nice. It's not a shack in Cape Town, different life.
Sure.
I think there's an aspect of the, like, having less and having less to worry about in that as well. There was enough to eat and there was enough food and everyone had a roof over their head. There wasn't necessarily excess beyond that. But I think a simple life that was just not cluttered with other things and need for other things and working towards this thing and working towards that thing is often a challenge for me, that I appreciated. So I think there's an aspect of removing things from life that could bring, that was just like, there's a baseline joy of that community, and there was shelter and food and the Lord. There was an ease to that. Again, not saying life was easy, but yeah. But I think those are some observations, but I do think there's a very big, I think, understanding of what mission is and what that it is actually like such a joy to partner with the Lord in sharing the gospel, which I think even in my own frame of mind, even though I walked with him, he never verbally expressed that to me. And in other spaces, I think I was more influenced as like, oh, it's this thing that we have to do. It's like, we have to share the gospel, and I'm not that, well, you know. And I think he was just like, I get to. I think there was a different perspective and mindset around that. Yeah.
Mm, sure. Thanks for sharing. Last question was.
So the comments are no hoarding.
Sorry?
So many. So no hoarding.
No hoarding. So, you see? There's method. Method to my madness.
I think that links, I mean, what you've shared now links to maybe, it links to my last question, which is, it sounds like your upbringing was a very formative time in your Christian faith, and this the simplicity, but also the intentionality around it. What do you think Renewal Network, or even more specifically our microchurches, could learn from Elias and kind of just that experiential Christian upbringing that you and I'm sure many others experienced?
Yeah. It's funny because I think I often speak to Cam about this in an indirect way, where I'm like, how can, if we have kids one day, how can we immerse our kids in the type of space that I grew up in that shapes your worldview so much?
And I struggle to see that in Cape Town. And this is often a discussion that I have with Cam, is for me, if it wasn't for renewal and the connection beyond the spatial boundaries in Cape Town, that are safe spaces where people know you, if it wasn't for that, I would have been way less hopeful about raising kids in Cape Town and being able to have people be in each other's spaces, because I think that's the essence of it. And so I think in many ways, there's already an element of it, of being able to intentionally be in each other's spaces. And I'm saying each other's spaces, but actually intentionally kind of redefining what spaces are whose, you know? So I think there's an element to which it's already creating a platform for it. I think where we can grow in it, and our context is very different to what Muffy King was. Muffy King didn't have spatial boundaries. It was very blurred, like felt like the village was in the town, but also because it was never, Muffy King was a homeland during apartheid. So it didn't have the planning that this place has. And so within this context, that immersing experience, I think, is going to take a lot more intentionality. And I think renewal is absolutely a vehicle in that, and can be. And I think we can be so much more powerful in it once we realize and start playing it to its full extent of what it means, especially for youth in their formative years, mm-hmm. and where we like realize the power of that, and of being in different spaces and in spaces of difference and people. Mm-hmm. And just the fact of being there, I didn't realize what was happening when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. My folks, that's a whole nother conversation about like how incredible my folks were in the whole thing. I think renewal, we're already a vehicle, and I think I've never thought about the fact, like this question, it's a very good question. I think once we realize it, I think we can unlock quite a lot for next generation to have a hunger for intentionally being in spaces of different.
That's good. Thanks. Thanks for sharing.
Let's spend some time. Thank you, Shomini, for sharing, and thanks Dad, for your questions and your comments. Let's spend about 8 minutes just praying for Shomini. Let's pray for Shomini. You're such a gift, eh? I just wanna remind you, you're really precious human being. So thank you for your presence. Thank you for bringing you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This, it's funny, I wasn't very keen for this meeting, but because today was such I literally felt like a headless chicken. I was in 8 places at once in my head. But yeah, I feel like this meeting has grounded me. I'm like, okay, cool. I can deal with the day. So thank you.
Yeah, no, just an echo what Grant said as well. Just, how old are you now?
28.
Yeah, I think back when I was 28, it is. A long time ago. But just your maturity and your courage and seeing you and Cam do things together in partnership as well is so awesome. You inspiration to me as well, just seeing young people rising up and doing amazing things for the Lord. So in an EMI context, in microchurch, in just being with us over here as well, you add value to the conversation. So yeah, I never doubt that, that your voice is valued in these spaces. Thank you so much.
That's good.
Yeah, come and pray so we can get back to everything about. Thank the Lord for coming in.
Lord, we thank you for story, the power of story. First of all, thank you for your story. As you've your story of making the world and creation and making us according to your own image, we thank you for the story of Jesus and him being the life and resurrection, and yeah, Lord, just the centrality of that story in our lives right now is beyond my comprehension often. And we thank you for Chamonix's story as well, just a story of formative years of challenge, of disillusionment, of reconnection and renewal in hope in you, Lord, and in community. And I just pray that as the challenges of the world and of life happens and is experienced, that she'll just continue to be filled and overflowing with your joy, Lord, as she has been discipled and mentored, and she's seen in the life of Elias as well, that that joy will just be apparent inside of her as well, and it'll be apparent to everyone else that's connecting with her, Lord, as she so much desires as well. So we pray that for her, Lord, that the joy inside of her will just be overflowing, that her heart will grow in love, joy, peace, patience, all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, and that you'll just continue to bless her marriage, bless the work opportunities and the side hustles and the main hustle and everything, Lord, the micro church as well. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Yeah, what somebody spoke about, just the gift that others that she has of being in different spaces and being with people, different people. I really want to thank you, Lord, for the gift that she is, you know, to us and to those around her. And we thank you that your grace is so evident upon our life in different ways. And we thank you that I pray, Lord, that you grow in confidence in bringing a full self into spaces. And not that she, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would, particularly in that area of faith. I know that there's a lot of stuff and a lot of pain and a lot of uncertainty around, but Lord, I pray, and I know we're living in the context, there's such a lot of complexity. But Father, we pray that you would give her a renewed confidence to walk in the fullness of all that you called her to be in these spaces. We pray, Lord, that the gift that you placed in her will multiply in different ways. And that gift will, we know that gift is going to be such a blessing to those around her. Thank you for Elias and just his role in her life. Thank you for the parents. Her parents that have played such an important role in her, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as she and Cam starts building or continues to build this life together, that that all of these different things will come into play as they seek to advance your kingdom for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Minsa. I'll wait for your response on the